U.S. History Textbook. Textbook available for free at cnx.org. Audio recording available for free at educateforfree.com. Summary. Chapter 1. 1.1. The Americas. Great civilizations had risen and fallen in the Americas before the arrival of the Europeans. In North America, the complex Pueblo societies, including the Mogollon, Huhokam, and Anasazi, as well as the city at Cahokia, had peaked and were largely memories. The eastern woodland people were thriving, but they were soon overwhelmed as the number of English, French, and Dutch settlers increased. Mesoamerica and South America had also witnessed the rise and fall of cultures. The once mighty Mayan population centers were largely empty. In 1492, however, the Aztecs in Mexico City were at their peak, subjugating surrounding tribes and requiring tribute of both humans for sacrifice and goods for consumption. The island city Tenochtitlan was the hub of an ever-widening commercial center and the equal of any large European city until Cortes destroyed it. Further south in Peru, the Inca linked one of the largest empires in history through the use of roads and disciplined armies. Without the use of the wheel, they cut and fashioned stone to build Machu Picchu high in the Andes before abandoning the city for unknown reasons. Thus, depending on what part of the New World they explored, the Europeans encountered peoples that diverged widely in their cultures, traditions, and numbers. 1.2. Europe on the brink of change. One effect of the Crusades was that a larger portion of Western Europe became familiar with the goods of the East. A lively trade subsequently developed along a variety of routes known collectively as the Silk Road to supply the demand of those products. Brigands and greedy middlemen made the trip along this route expensive and dangerous. By 1492, Europe recovered from the Black Death and, in search of new products and new wealth, was anxious to improve trade and communications with the rest of the world. Venice and Genoa led the way in trading with the East. The lure of profits pushed explorers to seek new trade routes to the Spice Islands and eliminate Muslim middlemen. Portugal, under the leadership of Prince Henry the Navigator, attempted to send ships around the continent of Africa. Ferdinand of Aragon and Isabella of Castile hired Columbus to find a route to the east by going west. As strong supporters of the Catholic Church, they sought to bring Christianity to the east and any newly found lands, as well as hoping to find sources of wealth. 1.3. West Africa and the role of slavery. Before 1492, Africa, like the Americas, had experienced the rise and fall of many cultures, but the continent did not develop a centralized authority structure. African peoples practiced various forms of slavery, all of which differed significantly from the racial slavery that ultimately developed in the New World. After the arrival of Islam and before the Portuguese came to the coast of West Africa in 1444, Muslims controlled the slave trade out of Africa, which expanded as European powers began to colonize the New World. Driven by a demand for labor, slavery in the Americas developed a new form. It was based on race, and the status of slave was both permanent and inherited. 2.1. Portuguese exploration and Spanish conquest. Although Portugal opened the door to exploration of the Atlantic world, Spanish explorers quickly made inroads into the Americas. Spurred by Christopher Columbus's glowing reports of the riches to be found in the New World, throngs of Spanish conquistadors set off to find and conquer new lands. They accomplished this through a combination of military strength and strategic alliances with native peoples. Spanish rulers Ferdinand and Isabella promoted the acquisition of these new lands in order to strengthen and glorify their own empire. As Spain's empire expanded and riches flowed in from the Americas, the Spanish experienced a golden age of art and literature. 2.2. Religious upheavals in the developing Atlantic world. The 16th century witnessed a new challenge to the powerful Catholic Church. The reformist doctrines of Martin Luther and John Calvin attracted many people dissatisfied with Catholicism, and Protestantism spread across Northern Europe, spawning many subgroups with conflicting beliefs. Spain led the charge against Protestantism, leading to decades of undeclared religious wars between Spain and England, and religious intolerance and violence characterized much of the 16th and 17th centuries. Despite the efforts of the Catholic Church and Catholic nations, however, Protestantism had taken hold by 1600. 2.3, challenges to Spain's supremacy. By the beginning of the 17th century, Spain's rivals, England, France, and the Dutch Republic, had been established in Atlantic presence with greater or lesser success in the race for imperial power. None of the new colonies, all in the eastern part of North America, could match the Spanish possessions for gold and silver resources. Nonetheless, their presence in the New World helped these nations establish claims that they hoped could halt the runaway growth of Spain's Catholic Empire. English colonists in Virginia suffered greatly, expecting riches to fall into their hands and finding reality a harsh blow. However, the colony at Jamestown survived, and the output of England's islands in the West Indies soon grew to be an important source of income for the country. New France and New Netherlands were modest colonial holdings in the northeast of the continent, but these colonies' thriving fur trade with native peoples and their alliances with those peoples helped to create the foundation for later shifts in the global balance of power. 2.4. New worlds in the Americas, labor, commerce, and the Columbian Exchange. In the minds of European rulers, colonies existed to create wealth for imperial powers. Guided by mercantilist ideas, European rulers and investors hoped to enrich their own nations and themselves in order to gain the greatest share of what was believed to be a limited amount of wealth. In their own individual quest for riches and preeminence, European colonizers who traveled to the Americas blazed new and disturbing paths, such as the encomienda system of forced labor and the use of tens of thousands of Africans as slaves. All native inhabitants of the Americas who came into contact with Europeans found their worlds turned upside down as the new arrivals introduced their religion and ideas about property and goods. Europeans gained new foods, plants, and animals in the Columbian Exchange, turning whatever they could into a commodity to be bought and sold, and Indians were introduced to diseases that nearly destroyed them. At every turn, however, Indians placed limits on European colonization and resisted the newcomers' ways. 3.1. Spanish exploration and colonial society. In their outposts at St. Augustine and Santa Fe, the Spanish never found the fabled mountains of gold they sought. They did find many native people to convert to Catholicism, but their zeal nearly cost them the colony of Santa Fe, which they lost for 12 years after the Pueblo Revolt. In truth, the grand dreams of wealth, conversion, and a social order based on Spanish control never came to pass as Spain envisioned them. 3.2. Colonial rivalries, Dutch and French colonial ambitions. The French and Dutch established colonies in the northeast part of North America, the Dutch in present-day New York and the French in present-day Canada. Both colonies were primarily trading posts for furs. While they failed to attract many colonists from their respective home countries, these outposts nonetheless intensified imperial rivalries in North America. Both the Dutch and the French relied on native peoples to harvest the pelts that proved profitable in Europe. 3.3. English settlements in America. The English came late to colonization of the Americas, establishing stable settlements in the 1600s after several unsuccessful attempts in the 1500s. After Roanoke Colony failed in 1587, the English found more success with the founding of Jamestown in 1607 and Plymouth in 1620. The two colonies were very different in origin. The Virginia Company of London founded Jamestown with the express purpose of making money for its investors, while Puritans founded Plymouth to practice their own brand of Protestantism without interference. Both colonies battled difficult circumstances, including poor relationships with neighboring Indian tribes. Conflicts flared repeatedly in the Chesapeake Bay tobacco colonies and in New England, where a massive uprising against the English in 1675 to 1676, King Philip's War, nearly succeeded in driving the intruders back to the sea. 3.4. The impact of colonization. The development of the Atlantic slave trade forever changed the course of European settlement in the Americas. Other transatlantic travelers, including diseases, goods, plants, animals, and even ideas like the concept of private land ownership, further influenced life in America during the 16th and 17th centuries. The exchange of pelts for European goods, including copper kettles, knives, and guns, played a significant role in changing the material cultures of native peoples. During the 17th century, native peoples grew increasingly dependent on European trade items. At the same time, many native inhabitants died of European diseases, while survivors adopted new ways of living with their new neighbors. 4.1. Charles II and the Restoration Colonies. After the English Civil War and interregnum, England began to fashion a stronger and larger empire in North America. In addition to wresting control of New York and New Jersey from the Dutch, Charles II established the Carolinas and Pennsylvania as proprietary colonies. Each of these colonies added immensely to the empire, supplying goods not produced in England, such as rice and indigo. The Restoration colonies also contributed to the rise in population in English America, as many thousands of Europeans made their way to the colonies. Their numbers were further augmented by the forced migration of African slaves. Starting in 1651, England pursued mercantilist policies through a series of navigation acts designed to make the most of England's overseas possessions. Nonetheless, without proper enforcement of Parliament's acts, and with nothing to prevent colonial traders from commanding their own fleets of ships, the navigation acts did not control trade as intended. 4.2. The Glorious Revolution and the English Empire. The threat of a Catholic absolute monarchy prompted not only the overthrow of James II, but also the adoption of laws and policies that changed English government. The Glorious Revolution restored a Protestant monarchy and at the same time limited its power by means of the 1689 Bill of Rights. Those who lived through the events preserved the memory of the Glorious Revolution and the defense of liberty that it represented. Meanwhile, thinkers such as John Locke provided new models and inspirations for the evolving concept of government. 4.3. An Empire of Slavery and the Consumer Revolution. The 17th and 18th centuries saw the expansion of slavery in the American colonies from South Carolina to Boston. The institution of slavery created a false sense of superiority in whites, while simultaneously fueling fears of slave revolt. White response to such revolts, or even the threat of them, led to gross overreactions and further constraints on slaves' activities. The development of the Atlantic economy also allowed colonists access to more British goods than ever before. The buying habits of both commoners and the rising colonial gentry fueled the consumer revolution, creating even stronger ties with Great Britain by means of a shared community of tastes and ideas. 4.4. Great Awakening and Enlightenment. The 18th century saw a host of social, religious, and intellectual changes across the British Empire. While the Great Awakening emphasized vigorously emotional religiosity, the Enlightenment promoted the power of reason and the scientific observation. Both movements had lasting impacts on the colonies. The beliefs of the new lights of the First Great Awakening competed with the religions of the first colonists, and the religious fervor in Great Britain and her North American colonies bound the 18th century British Atlantic together in a shared common experience. The British colonist Benjamin Franklin gained fame on both sides of the Atlantic as a printer, publisher, and scientist. He embodied Enlightenment ideals in the British Atlantic with his scientific experiments and philanthropic endeavors. Enlightenment principles even guided the founding of the colony of Georgia, although those principles could not stand up to the realities of colonial life, and slavery soon took hold in the colony. 4.5. War for the Empire. From 1688 to 1763, Great Britain engaged in almost continuous power struggles with France and Spain. Most of these conflicts originated in Europe, but their engagements spilled over into the colonies. For almost 80 years, Great Britain and France fought for control of eastern North America. During most of that time, neither force was able to win a decisive victory, though each side saw occasional successes with the crucial help of native peoples. It was not until halfway through the French and Indian War, 1754 to 1763, when Great Britain swelled its troops with more volunteers and native allies, that the balance of power shifted toward the British. With the 1763 Treaty of Paris, New France was eliminated and Great Britain gained control of all the lands north of Florida and east of the Mississippi. British subjects on both sides of the Atlantic rejoiced. 5.1. Confronting the National Debt, the Aftermath of the French and Indian War. The British Empire had gained supremacy in North America with its victory over the French in 1763. Almost all of the North American territory east of the Mississippi fell under British control, and the British leaders took this opportunity to try to create a more coherent and unified empire after decades of lax oversight. Victory over the French had proved very costly, and the British government attempted to better regulate their expanded empire in North America. The initial steps the British took in 1763 and 1764 raised suspicions among some colonists about the intent of the home government. These suspicions would grow and swell over the coming years. 5.2, the Stamp Act and the Sons and Daughters of Liberty. Though Parliament designed the 1765 Stamp Act to deal with the financial crisis in the empire, it had unintended consequences. Outrage over the act created a degree of unity among otherwise unconnected American colonists, giving them a chance to act together both politically and socially. The crisis of the Stamp Act allowed colonists to loudly proclaim their identity as defenders of British liberty. With the repeal of the Stamp Act in 1766, liberty-loving subjects of the king celebrated what they viewed as a victory. 5.3, the Townshend Acts and Colonial Protest. Like the Stamp Act in 1765, the Townshend Acts led many colonists to work together against what they perceived to be an unconstitutional measure, generating the second major crisis in British colonial America. The experience of resisting the Townshend Acts provided another shared experience among colonists from diverse regions and backgrounds, while the partial repeal convinced many that liberty had once again been defended. Nonetheless, British debt crisis still had not been solved. 5.4, the destruction of the Tea and the Coercive Acts. The colonial rejection of the Tea Act, especially the destruction of the Tea in Boston Harbor, recast the decade-long argument between British colonists and the home government as an intolerable conspiracy against liberty and an excessive overreach of parliamentary power. The coercive acts were punitive in nature, awakening the worst fears of otherwise loyal members of the British Empire in America. 5.5. Disaffection, the First Continental Congress, and American Identity. The First Continental Congress, which comprised elected representatives from 12 of the 13 American colonies, represented a direct challenge to British authority. In its declaration and resolves, colonists demanded the repeal of all repressive acts passed since 1773. The delegates also recommended that the colonies raise militias, lest the British respond to the Congress's proposed boycott of British goods with force. While the colonists still considered themselves British subjects, they were slowly retreating from British authority, creating their own de facto government via the First Continental Congress. 6.1, Britain's Law and Order Strategy and Its Consequences. Until Parliament passed the Coercive Acts in 1774, most colonists still thought of themselves as proud subjects of the strong British Empire. However, the Coercive or Intolerable Acts, which Parliament enacted to punish Massachusetts for failing to pay for the destruction of the tea, convinced many colonists that Great Britain was indeed threatening to stifle their liberty. In Massachusetts and in other New England colonies, militias like the Minutemen prepared for war by stockpiling weapons and ammunition. After the first loss of life at the battles of Lexington and Concord in April 1775, skirmishes continued throughout the colonies. When Congress met in Philadelphia in July 1776, its members signed the Declaration of Independence, officially breaking ties with Great Britain and declaring their intention to be self-governing. 6.2, the early years of the Revolution. The British successfully implemented the first part of their strategy to isolate New England when they took New York City in the fall of 1776. For the next 7 years, they used New York as a base of operations, expanding their control to Philadelphia in the winter of 1777. After suffering through a terrible winter in 1777-1778 in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, American forces were revived with help from Baron von Steuben, a Prussian military officer who helped transform the Continental Army into a professional fighting force. The effort to cut off New England from the rest of the colonies failed, with the General Burgoyne's surrender at Saratoga on October 1777. After Saratoga, the struggle for independence gained a powerful ally when France agreed to recognize the United States as a new nation and began to send much-needed military support. The entrance of France, Britain's arch-rival in the contest of global empire, into the American fight helped to turn the tide of the war in favor of the revolutionaries. 6.3. War in the South. The British gained momentum in the war when they turned their military efforts against the southern colonies. They scored repeated victories in the coastal towns, where they found legions of supporters, including slaves escaping bondage. As in other colonies, however, control of major seaports did not mean the British could control the interior. Fighting in the southern colonies devolved into a merciless civil war as the Revolution opened the floodgates of pent-up anger and resentment between frontier residents and those along the coastal regions. The southern campaign came to an end at Yorktown when Cornwallis surrendered to American forces. 6.4. Identity during the American Revolution. The American Revolution divided the colonists as much as it united them, with loyalists joining the British forces against the Patriots. Both sides included a broad cross-section of the population. However, Great Britain was able to convince many slaves to join its forces by promising them freedom, something the Southern revolutionaries would not agree to do. The war provided new opportunities, as well as new challenges, for slaves, free blacks, women, and Indians. After the war, many loyalists fled the American colonies, heading across the Atlantic to England, north to Canada, or south to the West Indies. 7.1. Common sense from monarchy to an American republic. The guiding principle of republicanism was that people themselves would appoint or select the leaders who would represent them. The debate over how much democracy, majority rule, to incorporate in the governing of the new United States raised questions about who was best qualified to participate in government and have the right to vote. Revolutionary leaders argued that property holders had the greatest stake in society and favored a republic that would limit political rights to property holders. In this way, republicanism exhibited a bias towards the elite. George Washington served as a role model for the new republic, embodying the exceptional talent and public virtue prized in its political and social philosophy. 7.2. How much revolutionary change? After the Revolution, the balance of power between women and men and between whites, blacks, and Indians remained largely unchanged. Yet revolutionary principles, including the call for universal equality in the Declaration of Independence, inspired and emboldened many. Abigail Adams and others pressed for greater rights for women, while the Pennsylvania Abolition Society and the New York Manumission Society worked toward the abolition of slavery. Nonetheless, for blacks, women, and native peoples, the revolutionary ideals of equality fell far short of reality. In the new republic, full citizenship, including the right to vote, did not extend to non-whites or to women. 7.3. Debating democracy. The late 1770s and 1780s witnessed one of the most creative political eras as each state drafted its own constitution. The Articles of Confederation, a weak national league among the states, reflected the dominant view that power should be located in the states and not in a national government. However, neither the state governments nor the Confederation government could solve the enormous economic problems resulting from the long and costly Revolutionary War. The economic crisis led to Shays' Rebellion by residents of Western Massachusetts and to the decision to revise the Confederation government. 7.4. The Constitutional Convention and Federal Constitution. The economic crisis of the 1780s, shortcomings of the Articles of Confederation, and outbreak of Shays' Rebellion spurred delegates from 12 of the 13 states to gather for the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Although the stated purpose of the convention was to modify the Articles of Confederation, their mission shifted to the building of a new, strong federal government. Federalists like James Madison and Alexander Hamilton led the charge for a new United States Constitution, the document that endures as the oldest written constitution in the world, a testament to the work done in 1787 by the delegates in Philadelphia. 8.1. Competing visions, Federalists and Democratic Republicans. While they did not yet constitute distinct political parties, Federalists and Anti-Federalists, shortly after the Revolution, found themselves at odds over the Constitution and the power that it concentrated in the federal government. While many of the Anti-Federalists' fears were assuaged by the adoption of the Bill of Rights in 1791, the early 1790s nevertheless witnessed the rise of two political parties, the Federalists and the Democratic Republicans. These rival political factions began by defining themselves in relationship to Hamilton's financial program, a debate that exposed contrasting views of the proper role of the federal government. By championing Hamilton's bold financial program, Federalists, including President Washington, made clear their intent to use the federal government to stabilize the national economy and overcome the financial problems that had plagued it since the 1780s. Members of the Democratic Republican opposition, however, deplored the expanded role of the new national government. They argued that the Constitution did not permit the Treasury Secretary's expansive program and worried that the new national government had assumed powers it did not rightfully possess. Only on the question of citizenship was there broad agreement. Only free white males who met taxpayer or property qualifications could cast ballots as full citizens of the Republic. 8.2. The New American Republic. Federalists and Democratic Republicans interpreted the execution of the French monarch and the violent establishment of a French Republic in very different ways. Revolutionaries' excesses in France and the slaves' revolt in the French colony of Haiti raised fears among Federalists of similar radicalism and slave uprisings on American shores. They looked to better relationships with Great Britain through Jay's Treaty. Pinckney's Treaty, which came about as a result of Jay's Treaty, improved U.S. relations with the Spanish and opened the Spanish port of New Orleans to American commerce. Democrat Republicans took a more positive view of the French Revolution and grew suspicious of the Federalists when they brokered Jay's Treaty. Domestically, the partisan divide came to a dramatic head in western Pennsylvania when distillers of whiskey, many aligned with the Democratic Republicans, took action against the federal tax on their product. Washington led a massive force to put down the uprising, demonstrating Federalist intolerance of mob action. Though divided on many issues, the majority of white citizens agreed on the necessity of eradicating the Indian presence on the frontier. 8.3. Partisan politics. Partisan politics dominated the American political scene at the close of the 18th century. The Federalists and Democratic Republicans' views of the role of government were in direct opposition to each other, and the close elections of 1796 and 1801 show how the nation grappled with these opposing visions. The high tide of the Federalist Party came after the election of 1796, when the United States engaged in the quasi-war with France. The issues arising from the quasi-war gave Adams and the Federalists license to expand the powers of the federal government. However, the tide turned with the close election of 1800, when Jefferson began an administration based on Democratic-Republican ideals. A major success of Jefferson's administration was the Louisiana Purchase of 1803, which helped to fulfill his vision of the United States as an agrarian republic. 8.4. The United States goes back to war. The United States was drawn into its second War of Independence against Great Britain when the British engaged in the Napoleonic Wars against France, took liberties with the fledgling nation by impressing or capturing its sailors on the high seas and arming its Indian enemies. The War of 1812 ended with the boundaries of the United States remaining as they were before the war. The Indians in the Western Confederacy suffered a significant defeat, losing both their leader Tecumseh and their fight for contested land in the Northwest. The War of 1812 proved to be of great importance because it generated a surge of national pride with expressions of American identity, such as the poem by Francis Scott Key. The United States was unequivocally separate from Britain and could now turn, as never before, to expansion in the West.